crossroads of empires, battleground of the ages, city of peace and of war. This is Jerusalem, where archaeology uncovers the empires of yesterday, where prophecy decodes the headlines of today. This is where history and prophecy come alive. This is Watch Jerusalem.
Hello and welcome back to Watch Jerusalem. I'm Brett Nuchtigal, your host, and we're coming to you today from Jerusalem, Israel, this Sunday. Jerusalem is still very tense right now, at least in East Jerusalem, around the Old City area, and the leadership of Israel, it seems, is not exactly sure what's going to take place over the next few weeks. Nobody could really guess what's going to happen in the city. Of course, I'm talking about the situation that's developed over the past week and a half because of the terrorist attack that was perpetrated by three Arab men from the Temple Mount enclosure. And then it was it took place at the Lion's Gate. That's just outside the north side of the 35-acre Temple Mount. And because of that, Israel decided that they were going to set up some metal detectors on the outside of the Temple Mount to ensure that everyone that enters this sacred place isn't bringing any weaponry. And for that act, the whole Arab world, as well as Palestinians from all sides, coming down very hard on Israel, saying that Israel is trying to change the status quo on the Temple Mount, that Israel is trying to limit and take over, or limit people entering the Temple Mount, take over the Temple Mount. And this is a serious situation, looking back in history. Events surrounding the Temple Mount, the Western Wall, throughout the past 100 years are the events that have ignited numerous wars against Israel, be it the Intifadas, first and second, especially the second, or even events during the British Mandate period as well. Events in and around the Temple Mount are very important for the region's security, and really for Israel's security. And the situation that we've seen developed, which from since last Friday, or Friday a week ago, to today, it really does threaten to spiral out of control. And everybody, of course, most people can probably barely remember why we're even in this situation. It was because a terrorist attack, I think for the first time, was perpetrated from the Temple Mount, from weapons that were stored on the Temple Mount, against Israelis. And so Israel decided that they were going to set up metal detectors before people entered that, just like you would any other place in Israel, just like you would for the holy sites in Mecca and Medina as well, the Islamic sites there. They wanted to set up metal detectors, and yet the Palestinians are saying, no, we're not going to submit to that at all. And so, of course, there were big protests last Friday. Numerous people were killed. The situation that led to some of their deaths is we're pretty unsure of right now, still, since Israel was not firing live bullets. They were just rubber bullets that they were firing. Nevertheless, there were three Palestinians that were killed. And on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about what's happened over the weekend, and then talk about where this situation might lead, because nobody really knows how bad it's going to get. And it might seem like an insignificant little thing to pass through a metal detector, and yet that might be so, but it's how it's interpreted. It's how it's interpreted by the Arab world that leads to the violence and the unrest that we're seeing right now in around East Jerusalem, and also through the West Bank, and even marches that are taking place over in Arab capitals across the Middle East. Well, just this past Friday, Palestinian Authority Mahmoud Abbas, he obviously is the leader of Fatah, the Palestinian group, but he also leads the Palestinian Authority. He said that he was going to freeze all contacts with Israel, and this is actually going to include the security establishment. The Palestinians have been working with Israelis on numerous levels of security inside the West Bank, even shutting down some terrorist cells. Of course, Fatah would like this when it in terms of shutting down its rival Hamas. But now, for the first time in nearly a decade, Mr. Abbas has ordered the severance of these security ties with Israel, even though, again, Israel hasn't had Israel and the Palestinian Authority, they haven't had peace talks for 3 years. Cooperation between the two groups, between the two peoples, has continued to maintain calm in the West Bank. And yet now that looks like it is going to stop. This is what President Abbas said to applause from officials that were convened at the Palestinian Authority headquarters in Ramallah. This was on Friday. He said, quote, "I, behalf of the Palestinian leadership, announce a freeze of all contacts with the occupation state on all levels until Israel commits to canceling all the measures against our Palestinian people in general and Jerusalem and Al-Aqsa Mosque in particular." And then he specifically castigated the deployment of these metal detectors at the Temple Mount compound that have been there since the July 14 attack. And he said, quote, "The measures falsely presented as a security measure to take control over Al-Aqsa Mosque." That's what he's calling these metal detectors, saying that they're falsely presented as a security measure to take control over Al-Aqsa Mosque. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The rhetoric coming from the Palestinians that they've been pushing, not just over the past week and a half, but for the past few years, that Israel is trying to take over their mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, a place where the Jews believe that their first and second temples were built. And yet we have this idea that is promulgated amongst in Palestinian circles and throughout the Middle East that Israel is trying to take control over that mosque. Then Abbas was quoted by Haaretz as saying this, "Then steps taken by Israel are leading to a religious confrontation and an evasion from the diplomatic process." So that's what the leader of the Palestinian Authority is saying. Instead of trying to work with Israel to tone down the rhetoric, to say that we will negotiate this and bring an end to it, he's saying that Israel has ulterior motives with these metal detectors that they set up because they're trying to take over our mosque. That's what he said on Friday. This is what happened a couple of hours after that. After nightfall, this is from AP now, after nightfall, a Palestinian sneaked into the home of an Israeli settlement, of the Israeli settlement of Halamish, in the West Bank, and stabbed to death three Israelis. That's what happened. Soon after, the Palestinian leader said Israel is trying to take over Al-Aqsa, basically a call to arms. Then some young, I think he was 19-year-old, he takes action into his own hands. He heads into a West Bank settlement. He knocks on the door of this group that were gathered together for a Shabbat dinner celebrating the birth of another birth of a grandchild. And then they open up, and this young man goes in there with a knife and kills three people. The army has since released pictures of pictures of the kitchen area soaked in blood, and it was very, very disgusting what took place. It was ended this way. This is, I'm going to just play for you now, a clip that the 20-year-old off-duty soldier that ended up shooting this terrorist from a window next door, I'll read it to you. This is a statement that he gave to the IDF. "I'm a 22-year-old fighter from the Oketz unit who lives in Neve Tuftsumitz. Last night, while my family was at the Friday night meal, we heard screams from the direction of our neighbor's home. My father and I went out to see what was happening. When we saw that the situation was serious, I ran back home to get my weapon. I stood outside the house and saw the terrorist through the window. I knew that I couldn't lose my cool and I had to be professional and controlled. I shot one shot towards his stomach and neutralized him. It seems I was at the right place at the right time. This is no doubt a traumatic incident for the community. We are part of the sorrow of the family and hug them. For me personally, it's not a simple incident. I try to focus on the fact that what I did prevented what could have been a worse tragedy. But this is not the first time we have experienced something like this. 3 years ago, a terrorist came into our house and attacked my youngest sister. That incident ended miraculously, better than what happened last night. So this soldier, off-duty soldier, just happened to be next door, heard the screams, responded quickly, and killed this man before he could kill any of the others that were at the table. Now, this is amazing. It wasn't even the first time that he's had to deal with a situation like this. The other situation involving 3 years ago, as he said, involving his little sister. Now, that's what the reaction was from a 19-year-old man from the West Bank village of Khobar. He sees what's happening in Jerusalem. He hears what he thinks is happening in Jerusalem through the different Arab media outlets. He looks to his leadership, and what does his leadership say? His leadership says, we're freezing all contracts with the occupation. We're done with them. And they're falsely presenting these security measures as an effort to control Al-Aqsa Mosque, our holy site. That's what the Palestinian leadership is saying of Israel. And so this Arab, 19-year-old Omar El Abed, he takes matters into his own hands. And a couple hours before he perpetrated this attack, this murder, he wrote this on Facebook. He said, I'm writing my last testament, and these are my words. So obviously he knew he was going to die in this terrorist attack, but it's worth it for him because, well, anyway, we'll see why, what he said with his own words. I am young, not even 20 years old. I had many dreams and aspirations, but what life is this in which our women and young are murdered without any justification? They are desecrating the Al-Aqsa Mosque and we are sleeping. It's an embarrassment that we are idly sitting by. That's what he's saying. The Israelis are desecrating Al-Aqsa. We're just sleeping. It's an embarrassment. Then he says, you, those who have a gun and who are worn out, you who only bring out your gun at weddings and celebrations, are you not ashamed of yourselves? Why are you not declaring war for God? Here they are closing Al-Aqsa and your gun is silent. So he's not beating around the bush here. He's saying the Israelis are trying to shut down their religious worship at their holy site. They're trying to take it over. And why are you not, everybody else, declaring war for our God? Then he says, all that I have is a sharpened knife, and it is answering the call of Al-Aqsa. And so it answered the call of Al-Aqsa, apparently, by murdering three civilians as they sat down for a Shabbat meal very far away from Jerusalem. He continues this way and concludes it this way. Shame on you, you who preach hatred. God will take revenge on you and will make it count. All of us are the sons of Palestine and the sons of Al-Aqsa. You, sons of monkeys and pigs, speaking of the Israelis, if you do not open the gates of Al-Aqsa, I am sure that men will follow me and will hit you with an iron fist. I am warning you. Now, I went to the Temple Mount compound just last week. There's no gates that are closed. Anyone can get in that wants to get in. It's harder to get in if you're a tourist or if you're a Jew to get into the Temple Mount compound. If you're a tourist or a Jew, you can't even get into the Al-Aqsa Mosque. If you're a Palestinian or a Muslim, all you need to do is go through a metal detector. And even now they're saying, we don't even make you do that. And yet the response has been, well, we're not going in until you remove the metal detectors from the premises. And so this man, hearing what he hears from his leadership, hearing what he hears on his media watch and what he sees on Facebook, he decides, I'm going to answer the call. My sharpened knife is answering the call of Al-Aqsa. I'm warning you, many are going to follow. This sounds like the beginning of a religious war. And it's a religious war that's predicated upon a lie, upon the same lie. The same lie that's been spoken in Arab circles and Palestinian circles for decades, that Israel is trying to take over the Temple Mount, that Israel is undermining Al-Aqsa. This is a statement the following day. And this was sent to supporters by the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, his supporters, the Fatah supporters. He said, "The campaign for Jerusalem has effectively begun and will not stop until a Palestinian victory and the release of the holy sites from Israeli occupation." Then he praised the demonstrators' intifada, or their armed struggle on Friday against the enemy, and he says their acts for the protection of Al-Aqsa and their struggle against the Israeli plans while sacrificing souls and blood. He's saying this is a good thing, that they will be rewarded for this because they're protecting Al-Aqsa when Israel is not trying to take over Al-Aqsa. This is holy war all over a few metal detectors. A few metal detectors. Well, of course, really, this isn't about the metal detectors. This has been coming for some time now. Because the Arab leadership has been looking for an excuse for years to try and take the Temple Mount by force. That is, to take full control over the Temple Mount. Complete control. Now, Melanie Phillips, she had an article on her blog, and she just listed a few of these comments over the past three or four years by different Muslim and Arab Palestinian leaders. This is what she said. Mr. Abbas promised once, this was, I believe, last year, to allow the Jews' filthy feet on the Temple Mount. That's what he wanted. A teacher at the Al-Aqsa Mosque School said that Jews who visit the Temple Mount were monkeys and pigs. Monkeys and pigs. Hear that? Now, that is the exact terminology that 19-year-old attacker used in describing the Israelis, calling them monkeys and pigs. And here we are at a school, the Al-Aqsa School, where a teacher was saying the Jews were exactly that. Then a preacher outside the Al-Aqsa Mosque implored his followers to slaughter Jews. Well, that's happening. That's happening. And then just this last February, a Palestinian Authority official claimed the Israelis were planning to Judaize Jerusalem and defile Al-Aqsa. Quote, "If the settlers," that is basically any Israeli, "and the extremist groups do not stop this, they will find their deaths at the hands of the Muslims there, who will not allow the enemy to harm the Al-Aqsa Mosque and to defile it, even if it costs them their lives," end quote. So this is what they're told. This is what the Palestinian people are told, that Israel is trying to defile Al-Aqsa Mosque. And there could be nothing further than the truth when you consider the pains at which Israel prevents Jews and tourists from any type of wrongdoing on the Temple Mount. That's why they are, the Jews and the tourists, heavily checked. They've been going through security, metal detectors for years. I've gone through the metal detector to get there a couple of years ago. And all of our bags, they go through an X-ray machine. Not the Muslims. Not until a week ago, they could just walk right in. And yet, we've been going through this security procedure for years. I remember even just working on the Ophel. I think I've told you this before. The Ophel excavations just below the southern wall of the Temple Mount. And numerous times in the years that we worked there, we see Palestinian news crews come to the road, the Ophel road there, just above the Kidron Valley. And they're filming us digging right in front of them. And then in the background, you have the southern wall of the Temple Mount, and they've got their shots going from us digging upways to Al-Aqsa Mosque. And then the report, if you can see it, if you go to Palestinian Media Watch or something like that, and you see what they're reporting, why those cameras are there that day, well, they're reporting that we're trying to dig under Al-Aqsa Mosque. We're trying to use this excavation as a front for more covert plans to destroy Al-Aqsa Mosque. What a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. And yet, people act on those lies. Three people are killed, were killed on Friday, murdered because of those lies. Now, the group that's in charge of the day-to-day running of the of the Temple Mount enclosure right now isn't the Israelis, although they are in charge of security on the outside of it. The group that's responsible is the Waqf, the Islamic Trust, that basically has been in power since 1967. They answer to King Abdullah in Jordan. This is what they said this morning. They released a statement and said that the Waqf won't accept any new security measures at the Temple Mount, quote, even if metal detectors are taken away. Even if the metal detectors are taken away now, Israel tries to work out another compromise to try and still ensure that no one can enter the compound with weapons, so it's not used as a weapons depot or a staging ground for terrorist attacks anymore, the Temple Mount. Even if Israel takes away those metal detectors and tries to figure out a new way of doing it, we're not going to accept it. We don't accept any changes to the security measures. That's what the Waqf said. They're not looking for a solution or a way out of this situation. They don't want compromise. They want the Temple Mount. They've always wanted the Temple Mount. And it doesn't look like the Waqf. It doesn't look like the Palestinian Authority. It doesn't look like Hamas. It doesn't look like any of the Arab nations supporting them are going to back down here. They don't want to back down. Instead, they're using this event. They're using metal detectors that were set up after Israelis were killed by terrorists from the Temple Mount. They're using that excuse as a call to arms. This is the Temple Mount impasse. And really, it's not going to be resolved until an unseen hand from someplace resolves it. Now, that's the truth. That's the truth. When we come back, we're going to look at where this Temple Mount impasse will lead. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3, KPCG and KPCG.fm. The podcast of each show is available at thetrumpet.com, at KPCG.fm, and at iTunes. They call it the City of Peace. But it is filled with violence. Yesterday, bloody crusades and sieges. Today, terrorism, rocket attacks, and stabbings. Intense international pressure, but no diplomatic solutions. This is Jerusalem. No city has suffered like it. Will there ever be peace? God says yes. There will be peace in Jerusalem, and not just for the Jews. It will be a peace that spreads to all people. How will God bring peace to Jerusalem? Request your free copy of Jerusalem in Prophecy to find out. The answer comes straight from your Bible. Peace is coming soon. Act today. Please visit thetrumpet.com. This is Watch Jerusalem.
Welcome back to Watch Jerusalem. I'm Brent Nachtigall, coming to you again from Jerusalem, a city, as I was saying, that's embroiled in this very difficult situation where Israel is trying to ensure the protection of its citizens and the Muslim worshippers on the Temple Mount, and trying to install, has installed security measures, metal detectors, to ensure that no one gets on there with a weapon. Well, that's just backfiring completely on them, as the Arab world and the Palestinian leadership really do maximize this opportunity to use that as a rallying cry for a holy war. A holy war. And there were three victims, as I said before, last Friday night of this holy war. And sad to say, it doesn't look like it's going away. And all of this, of course, is over the Temple Mount. the Temple Mount, this is the flashpoint. And really, it's the question of ownership of that complex is not going to go away anytime soon. It has been one of the biggest issues that has confronted the peace process for the past 20 years. Who's going to end up controlling Jerusalem? Who's going to control East Jerusalem? Now, while it has looked like numerous governments might give away, Israeli governments would give away East Jerusalem as a capital to the Arabs, it looks like the Temple Mount would be the sticking point for that. Both the Israelis and the Palestinians are not going to give up the Temple Mount. And even looking back at the previous two intifadas against Israel, especially the second, it was called the second intifada, which resulted, remember, in thousands of Israelis, or over 1,000 Israelis, being blown up as they sat at cafes, as they rode on buses throughout Jerusalem. That was called the Al-Aqsa Intifada. It was the rallying cry for the second intifada, and it looks to be the rallying cry again for the third that just might be underway right now. Now, the history relating to this issue goes back 70 years this year. It goes back to the Six-Day War and Israel's victory over numerous Arab armies, and we've talked about the miracle of that victory numerous times on this program. But basically, up to that point, from 1948 to 1967, you had Jordan that controlled the West Bank, including East Jerusalem. Of course, they weren't the legal holders of that territory. They simply grabbed it after the 1948 war. Nevertheless, Jordan was in control of East Jerusalem and the West Bank. At the start of the Six-Day War on June 5th, 1967, the Israelis told Jordan, "Don't get in this fight. We won't attack you. We won't attack East Jerusalem. We don't want East Jerusalem." And yet, just 2 hours, I think it's Jordan started attacking them around 10 a.m. Artillery started being fired into West Jerusalem from East Jerusalem, even after Israel told them that they weren't going to attack them. And then for those 2.5 hours there, Israel sent another message to the Jordanians saying, stop now, we're not going to attack you. And yet that only led to the intensification of Jordan's attack on Israel in 1967. So Israel attacked them. And then Israel pushed them out of that territory within 3 days. All of Jerusalem, including the Old City and the Temple Mount, they were conquered by Israel. They were conquered by Israel, pushed Jordan back across the east side of the Jordan River. And yet, at that moment, just after that stunning victory, stunning emotional victory too, as Jews got to return to the Western Wall, and then the Temple Mount was in their control as well, then they made the decision. Some say it was a fundamental mistake, and indeed, I can see it both ways of why they did what they did, but nevertheless, they decided at that point that even though we are sovereign over the Old City, we're going to basically let the Arabs, the Muslims, take care of the Temple Mount. And we are going to bar even our people from praying on the Temple Mount as well. And we will allow the Muslim leadership that was taking over the Temple Mount during Jordanian times to continue. Now, Israel could have, since they were the victor in this, realized its full control over the Temple Mount. But in 1967, they were worried because they thought that if they did that, there might be a holy war that is, even though the holy war was taking place already to try and destroy Israel, they thought all the Muslim world would come against them if they took over the Temple Mount completely. So they decided at that point that even though we've been wanting to get back here for 2,000 years and this is our most holy site, well, we're going to allow the Muslims control of it. This is what David Horowitz wrote. He's the former editor of Jerusalem Post and the former editor of Times of Israel. He wrote an article, and I'm going to leave this for you to read. I think it's very important for you to read, just so you can get some context of what's going on for the past 50 years here over Jerusalem. He said this in this article. He said, why get into all that decades-old history again now? Why focus on the forbearance half a century ago and the decades of Muslim delegitimization when we're grappling with immediate dangers swirling around the Temple Mount? Then he says, because that's what all of this is really about. Israel made its big picture choice 50 years ago. It opted not to insist on religious freedom for the Jews on the Temple Mount. Indeed, it opted not to insist on religious freedom at the Temple Mount, period. Israel deferred to Muslim sensitivities because of its perceived wider interest in working to normalize its very sovereign presence in the hostile Middle East. Was it a historical mistake? Well, maybe it was. Maybe it was vital. Nation-saving imperative. And then he says, but the fact is that today, right now, despite endless false assertions in the Muslim world to the contrary, there is no indication that the Netanyahu government intends to revisit that fundamental decision, no sign that it intends to reassert Israel's fleeting full sovereignty at the Temple Mount. He's saying that we made that decision 50 years ago, and in no way is Netanyahu trying to change that right now, trying to change that status quo on the Temple Mount. Israel is not trying to take over the Temple Mount. But it's always been the Palestinian strategy to say Israel's taking over the Temple Mount. Why? Because they want to take it over themselves. They've always wanted to do this. Back on July 23rd, 2000, this was one day before the Camp David conference ended, get together basically between the Palestinian leadership, Ehud Barak, and Bill Clinton's, his attempt to bring about Middle Eastern peace. Ehud Barak, of course, was ready, in fact, to carve up Jerusalem and give Arafat the eastern half of it. Of course, Arafat refused it and said, no, this is basically how Arafat summarized his position back in 2000. He said, quote, I will not agree to any Israeli sovereign presence in Jerusalem. Neither in the Armenian Quarter, nor in the Al-Aqsa Mosque, neither in the Via Dolorosa, nor in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. They can occupy us by force because we are weaker now. But in 2 years, 10 years, or 100 years, there'll be someone who will liberate Jerusalem from them. So that's what he said. 2 months after that statement, Arafat was calling for a new war against Israel. And what was that called? It was called the Al-Aqsa Intifada. People say that the Second Intifada was ignited by Ariel Sharon visiting the Temple Mount, and that might have been the last act. But the situation was that the Arab world had been incited, Palestinians had been incited for years towards a armed rebellion against the Israelis, using the argument that Israel is trying to take over the Temple Mount. The end result, as I said earlier, 1,000 Israelis were killed in that. That's all it takes. All it takes is constant incitement from the Palestinians, Palestinian leadership, and then it takes a visit by somebody to the Temple Mount, by an Israeli leader. And that's going to light the fuse. 2017, what is it that lights the fuse? Setting up a couple of metal detectors after, again, Israeli soldiers were killed from the Temple Mount. Now, are we going to see another intifada or uprising? It's probably impossible for the Palestinians to rise up in the way that they did during the Second Intifada with the bus bombings and the suicide bombers en masse, just because of the defensive wall that's been set up through Jerusalem, East Jerusalem, to ensure that there are checks. There are checks with anybody coming through those to come into Jerusalem. So it would probably be very difficult for that to take place. But the Palestinians have ways. They have ways and they have supporters. It's interesting to see the response from the Arab world. It took a few days, really, from some different Arab states. It took a while for them to come down hard on Israel. Today, it looks like they've issued a couple of statements. But maybe some of the Arab world doesn't want this to get out of hand just yet. And of course, there would be a nation that really does want this to get out of hand. And we talk about Iran a lot on this program and at watchjerusalem.co.il, just because Iran has the goal as well of destroying Israel, of taking over the Temple Mount for themselves. And I'm not sure how this third intifada is going to happen. But one way or another, they are going to get the support that they need. And I'm saying to you today that the Palestinians are going to get full control of the Temple Mount. It will come at a cost. There will be a fight over it, because both groups, the Israelis and the Palestinians, they don't want to let this go. And violence is really the only way forward that the Palestinians see, apparently, to get control of Al-Aqsa. And the only way Israel is going to stop that is with violence, is with ensuring that that doesn't happen militarily or with arms. Now, why we make this prediction or forecast is because of a prophecy that's found in the book of Zechariah. And based on that prophecy, and you can order Jerusalem in Prophecy. It's written by Gerald Florio, the editor-in-chief of Watch Jerusalem, and that goes into this prophecy in depth. And I would really encourage you to do that. It's very important, because in that book you'll see that we've been waiting for this type of impasse to be created, where the Palestinians are whipped up into a frenzy to fight for control of Al-Aqsa Mosque at the expense of Israel. And we've said that Israel is going to try and rebuff those attempts. And yet the Palestinians will end up taking control. This is what, again, Gerald Flory wrote in 2006. He said the Palestinians will take half of Jerusalem. They say even now that a Palestinian state must include East Jerusalem, which already is comprised mostly of Palestinians, and the Temple Mount. They want Jerusalem with the Temple Mount as their capital. Then he says, if they take the Temple Mount, you could see that act quickly provoking more war. The Temple Mount is holy to three great religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. It is the Jews' holiest site. The Arabs consider it their second or third holiest site. Christians, especially Roman Catholics, put more emphasis on this whole city. Then he says, remember the Crusades. But then he writes, the Palestinians could, and I believe will, conquer the Temple Mount and refuse access to anybody else. Now, that's not what we have right now. Right now, we have the Palestinians, of course, being able to have free access to the Temple Mount. And we have Jews and tourists, Christians, that have to go through metal detectors and have to go through a more strict screening process to even get on the Temple Mount. That's what we have right now. But Mr. Flory, based on this prophecy in the book of Zechariah, he said that the Palestinians could, and I believe will, conquer the Temple Mount and refuse access to anybody else. That does seem far-fetched, especially considering the strength of Israel's security apparatus and the weakness of the Palestinians. But the Palestinians do have a lot of people. They have a lot of people. And it's easy to see how the Palestinians could arrange some type of sit-in. And then the Palestinians also have a lot of international support. International support, I wouldn't be surprised if the solution to this impasse right now is the Palestinians demanding that an international observer group come and run the security. Because they can't trust the Israelis, apparently. They can't trust the Israelis to look after the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Israel has been in control, if you like, of the Temple Mount for 50 years, and yet they haven't tried to take it over. Surely they would have done that at a period before right now. And yet, apparently, the Palestinian leadership cannot trust the Israelis to ensure that they get access to the Temple Mount, as they've done for the past half century. Maybe they'll ask for an observer group, an international observer group, to come into Jerusalem. We'll see. But if you want to understand the end of this impasse over the Temple Mount, you really need to read up about this prophecy that's found in the book of Zechariah. An explanation of that is found in Gerald Flory's book, Jerusalem in Prophecy. I've just published a chapter of this book on Watch Jerusalem entitled Jerusalem Violence Triggers the Coming of the Messiah. Please go ahead and click on that and read that. And then you can get for free this booklet, Jerusalem in Prophecy. You can get it sent to you as a hard copy, or you can read the PDF straight away online. It's there for you to read, and it will actually make sense of what is happening in Jerusalem right now. Thanks very much for listening today. I'm your host, Brent Nachtigall, coming to you from Jerusalem, Israel, this Sunday. Please check into our website during the coming week. We'll keep you abreast and up to date of what's happening with the Temple Mount impasse. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.